The late Jerry Bridges was a ruling elder in one of our churches, in one of our PCA churches in Colorado. And he was also very active in a Christian organization called the Navigators. I mention him because I am relying heavily on what he has taught me concerning our subject of today, knowing God's love. Let's pray and then have our sermon. Heavenly Father, as I have thought and said before, I do not want to stand up here on my own, and we should not want to sit and listen on our own. And so we ask, Heavenly Father, for your grace to be poured out upon us so that this time will bring much glory to the triune God and therefore much good, eternal good in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A Christian man who spends a good amount of time encouraging others found himself distraught over the spiritual struggles of one of his children. In desperation, he cried out, "God, I think I'm doing a better job taking care of your children than you are of mine." He said, as soon as I said those words, I repented to the Lord. Let me ask you, have you ever questioned God's love for you? Have you ever doubted his goodness, his kindness to you? Jerry Bridges once said, "When one of my children was going through a series of difficult experiences, I said to God, 'God, I wouldn't treat my child the way you are treating her.'" He also said, "I repented of my brash words." Most of us are tempted from time to time to question God's love for us. This morning, we are going to look at some truths about God to store up in our hearts to use as weapons against temptations to doubt God's love for his people. We are going to look at four truths about God that will help us to know God's love and goodness for us, his people. Here is truth number one. God shows his love for us at Calvary. Look with me at 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Once again, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We find these words here in God's word. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Apostle John tells us in his letter of 1 John that God is love, that part of the essential character of God is love. And the evidence that John gives to us for God's love for us is, God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God shows his love for us at Calvary. What would you say your greatest need is? What is the need of your life? Health? Financial security? To have friends? To have freedom from adversity? For something to take place in reference to your children? Your greatest need is to be right with God. Your biggest need is to have your eternal separation from God removed and to be reconciled to him. This need is so great that no other need can even come close to it in comparison. For this need, God sent his one and only Son into the world. God gave his only begotten Son so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. And God giving his Son for this need was an act of love on his part for us. For God so loved that he gave his one and only Son. Listen to these words. If we want proof of God's love for us, then look at the cross where God offered up his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Calvary is one objective, absolute, irrefutable proof of God's love for us. A man eagerly awaited the birth of his first child. And when it occurred, his son was born with an incurable birth defect, leaving him crippled for life. The father went to the Lord and said, "Lord, Lord, let me be the crippled one. Let me be crippled instead of my son. Let me bear the infirmity." The Son of God bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He took up our infirmities so that by his wounds we are healed. And he did all of that because he loves us. The first truth about God for us to store up in our hearts, to use as a weapon against the temptations to doubt God's love for us, is God shows his love for us at Calvary. My friends, when you come into our sanctuary and see the cross, realize that God is telling you of his love. Truth number two is, God shows his love for us through adoption. Look with me at 1 John 3, verse 1 for this. 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Through God's grace, we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we who are believers, John tells us now, have been brought into the very family of God. By God's love, he has made us his sons and daughters. He is our God, and we are his creatures, but also he is our heavenly Father, and we are his children. Listen to John's words in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I have said to you before that perhaps God could have saved us from sin, but kept us at arm's length. He could have forgiven us, but let us only be slaves. However, through Christ and in deep love, God has adopted us as his children. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to testify with our spirit that we are his children. It was said that in the Jewish household, slaves were not allowed to use the word Abba to address the head of the family. It was a word reserved only for the children. God has given us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to testify to our spirit that we are his children, and to lead us to cry in our hearts, Abba, Father, to God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And listen to this. As our Heavenly Father, as incredible as it may seem, God takes great delight in us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, he rejoices over us with singing. He delights in us as a father delights in his children. Matthew Henry has said, the great God not only loves his saints, but he loves to love them. I once attended a morning worship service with about 400 other people. And sitting in front of me were a mother and father and their newborn child. And I recall how they continually expressed love for and delight in their newborn child. How delighted they were with their baby. God delights in us as a parent delights in his children only perfectly. Truth number two, God shows his love for us through bringing us into his family and rejoicing over us with singing and taking great delight in us, his children. My friends, we belong to God. We are his children, and he loves to love us. Truth number three, we are loved by God in Jesus Christ. God shows his love for us at Calvary. God shows his love for us through adoption. And we are loved by God in Jesus Christ. Look with me now at Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Once again, Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why does God love us? What is it that causes him to be eternally good to us? Is it because of something in ourselves? No. The infinite, measureless love of God is poured out upon us, not because of who we are or what we are, but because we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. The love of God flows to us through or in Christ Jesus. The term in Christ is one that Paul uses frequently to refer to our spiritually organic union with Jesus Christ. Jesus, you'll remember, speaks of this same union in his metaphor of the vine and its branches in John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Just as the branches are organically related to the vine in a life-giving union, so believers, in a spiritual sense, are organically united to Christ. And the Bible teaches us that because of this union, we are loved by God. God loves us in his Son. We perhaps are constantly tempted to look within ourselves to seek to find some reason why God should love us. We usually find within ourselves, however, reasons why we think God should not love us. The Bible is quite clear that God does not look within us for a reason to love us. He loves us because we are in Christ Jesus. When God looks at us, he does not look at us as standalone Christians, resplendent in our own good works. Rather, as he looks at us, he sees us united to his beloved Son, clothed in his righteousness. He loves us because we are lovely, not because we are lovely in ourselves, but because we are in Christ. I've mentioned to some of you how a number of years ago I was on the campus of a university witnessing. And as I walked around, I came upon a party. I went in, and shortly after I did, a person came up to me and wanted to know if I had a connection. I needed a connection to be there. I told him I didn't, and I was told to leave. As Christians, we have a connection to Christ. In fact, the Bible says we are united to Christ. And point three about knowing God's love is God loves us in his Son. Now listen. And God's love to us will never fail any more than his love for his Son will fail. God's love for us will never fail any more than his love for his Son will ever fail. Our last point this morning is this. We are loved by God with a sovereign love. Romans 8, let's look at verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He works for the good. God reigns. God rules. God has the power to carry out his will, and he is. And part of his will is that in all things, he will work for our good. In all things, we will experience his love. We are loved by God with a sovereign love. I've told you this in the past. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 23, verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6 goes, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Knowing God's love, we are loved by God with a sovereign love. Listen to Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him." Now let's pause, parentheses. What does that mean for us? The sovereign Lord comes with power, and his mighty power rules for him. What does that mean for us? Verse 11 answers the question. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Sovereign love. Let me address the seniors for a few moments. Not high school seniors, not college seniors, those of us who are seniors in age. Somebody has said, in fact, it was J.I. Packer, "Realism requires us to remember that memory, particularly short-term memory, will weaken, logical tightness of speech will loosen, powers of concentration will diminish, physical exhaustion will overtake us sooner or later, and energy levels will keep going lower as our bodies all along wear out." What does God want us seniors to know? He loves us. He loves us with a sovereign love. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. God loves us with a sovereign love. Now for all of us, in Psalm 13, David is going through a time of great adversity. And he is struggling, I have read, with doubts. Doubts concerning God's love for him. He says, for instance, in verse 1, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" What is the answer to doubting God's love for his people? What weapons can we use to overcome doubt? God shows his love for us at Calvary. God shows his love for us through adoption. We are loved by God in Jesus Christ, and we are loved by God with a sovereign love. May the Lord enable us to take these truths with us and to say what David went on to say in Psalm 13. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, please enable us to take these truths with us. Please enable us to trust in your unfailing love and to rejoice and sing thanksgiving and praise to you because of your unfailing love. In Jesus' name, amen.